Respectful greetings, cherished viewers. On today's Our Noble Lineage, we will meet Dr. Chris Foster, the founder of Mormons for Animals. Dr. Foster is a vegan advocate and philosophy professor at Utah Valley University. Mormons for Animals is made up of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons, who seek to embrace peace through a vegan lifestyle. The organization sees itself as part of an awakening of humanity that is occurring as people everywhere return to their divine origin and the Garden of Eden nourishment for which we were originally designed. Mormons for Animals turn to the treasure trove of scripture from Latter-day Saints that is available to them in the Holy Writings. Let's now meet Dr. Foster and other Mormons for Animals who share with us about their Mormon faith and their vegan lifestyle.
The arguments, the reasoning for being vegetarian is so simple that you don't have to take a logic class to appreciate it. You don't have to be a philosopher to understand the basic premise of compassion, the basic premise of look into the eyes of your dog and tell me if its life matters to it. And if you admit that its life matters to your dog, then almost automatically you realize that a pig's life matters to it and a cow's life matters to it, and we must not be part of causing suffering.
Dr. Foster shares that like many children who naturally love animals, he had a desire to be a vegetarian.
When I was 7 years old, I decided I wasn't going to eat animals anymore. And I just learned this new word in school, and I told my dad, I refuse to eat meat. But that didn't last long. He said, eat your roast. I said, okay. But that thought lingered. And so I always felt that killing animals was wrong, but I just never really figured out that it was up to me to do anything about it until I went to college and my food choices were my own choices. I thought, but I must take a principled stance. I cannot participate in something that I oppose. And so I decided to go vegetarian as a freshman at UC Davis in 1987.
Dr. Foster shares with Supreme Master Television viewers more about the journey that brought him to the Church of Latter-day Saints and eventually to found Mormons for Animals.
My core family, my parents, my grandparents were not religious at all. And so I was raised without religion. I was fine with human evolution. I didn't have a problem with the idea of how I got here physically, but I mean consciously. Why am I a consciousness? What's the purpose of my life? What should I be doing? Why are we here? Kind of existential question. And I had a waking up moment, and I decided that there must be a reason. There must be a purpose for being a consciousness. And so I began to pursue that, and I began to seek out different traditions and religions, and I practiced meditation. I had already been a vegetarian. I became vegan after a while, and I found good in all of that. And I studied philosophy, so I was interested mentally in studying the truth and also experientially to try to become that truth. I came to visit my sister in Utah one summer in 94, and her roommate said, hey, you want to come to church with us? And so I said, sure, of course, I love religions. I was in church with them, and I had this amazing feeling in my heart, like God was in the room, like I could feel a light lighten up. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was good. I knew it was good. So I decided, I'm going to find out if this is true. So I studied the gospel, and more importantly, I prayed, and I tried to live it. And moments when I just decided to trust, when I said, I've had enough evidences that this is good, I'm just going to trust this, and I would accept it, then the light would get brighter, and I would feel God enter my heart.
As a philosopher and seeker of the truth, Dr. Foster studied deeply the scriptures of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We find out that the LDS doctrine teaches that animals have souls, for one. They have souls and will be resurrected and be in heaven. Joseph Smith taught it, Brigham Young taught it, prophet after prophet. I'll breathe into you the breath of life applies to animals too. Mm-hmm. And Joseph Smith taught that they would be exalted, that they would be in heaven, enjoying eternal felicity in a state of exaltation. So animals have souls like we do and have eternal well-being. And then we go into treatment of animals and how we are accountable. God will not hold him blameless who misuses a beast, as Brigham Young put it. That we are held accountable for how we treat. Joseph Fielding Smith said similar things, and George Q. Cannon, who was a first counselor in the first presidency, on and on and on, that we must treat animals with kindness and respect. Otherwise, we are held accountable. He says, a man who misuses an animal at that moment disqualifies himself from the companionship of the Holy Spirit, for the Lord will not sanction an unrighteous act, and it is unrighteous to treat an animal cruelly. I believe that was either George Q. Cannon or Joseph F. Smith, the prophet, who said that one. There's so many scriptures. And so then I basically prove by all those methods why we do need to exercise compassion to our fellow beings.
Will Latter-day Saints cease eating meat before millennium comes? President Lorenzo Snow said he, quote, thought the time was near at hand when the Latter-day Saints should be taught to refrain from meat eating and the shedding of animal blood.
Let's now hear testimonies from other Mormons who are vegans.
A very central point of Mormonism is that that there will be a millennium. There will be a time when the earth will be restored to the state it was in at the time of the Garden of Eden, when there was universal peace and tranquility upon the earth. We believe in the words of Isaiah that the lion will lie down with the lamb and the wolf with the kid, that kind of peace will again exist upon the earth. And that was something that has been really exciting for me as a mother, trying to teach my children something that they can really work for, a time that is better than the time that we can give them right now. My children had a pet dog, yeah, who was poisoned by some neighbors who left out poisoned cat food for some stray cats. The grief that my children felt was just immediate and overwhelming. And I felt in my research that I was able to comfort them by giving them the kind of feeling that there is immortality with regards to the animal world, that they can see that animal again, that the Lord loves the animals just as he loves human beings. We grow very attached to these animals. They're much a part of our family as you know, the human beings that are a part of our family. I think eating animals, the kinds of relationships with other life that we have now are not the way they were designed to be. They're not a perfect way. So there's hope for a life beyond this where things will be better, but there's also a hope for life on this earth through the millennium that things will eventually be better even in this kind of mortal existence.
One of the most famous things that Mormons live is called the Word of Wisdom. And that's the part of Scripture that teaches us not to drink alcohol or take drugs or drink coffee or tea. These are things that Mormons are known for. Well, the same passage of Scripture also says that we should not eat meat.
And when I first became a member of the church, I became very aware of the Word of Wisdom. And probably after I'd been a member of the church for about 15 years, I began to notice this Scripture more than any other Scripture that I was aware of, which said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. And so I decided I would go down to southern Utah and pray about this. And so I fasted and prayed for 3 days to have this door open to me. Nothing happened, you know. And so on my way back home, I decided to come through Manti to the Manti Temple and go into the temple and pray there and see if I couldn't get some kind of answer. And so as I went into the temple, there was this big picture of Christ as he stands with his arms open wide. And I felt this, when I saw that picture, I felt this wrench in my heart, like he was having compassion for me and maybe I was gonna get an answer, you know.
As if her prayers had been answered, 3 days later, Ms. Foulkes attended a seminar given by Mr. Thomas Rogers, who, like Ms. Foulkes, comes from a family of ranchers.
Tom Rogers, who's also known as the Vegan Cowboy, who's a longtime Mormon. His whole family were ranchers. He nearly died of a rare and extremely deadly form of cancer. Like almost everybody, 99.99-something percent of people die that get this type of cancer. And on his deathbed, he promised God he would never kill another living thing and went vegan and recovered. And he's even got like a governor's medal recently for having survived this rare form of cancer. He's not shy about telling people his secret that he's a vegan. Mm-hmm. And he feels it's part of the Mormon gospel.
I was very aware of the word of wisdom, you know, and wondered why more people didn't practice it. But yet, and so I went to this seminar that Tom had, and as he talked about the cow and about how cows suffer, and they take their calves away from them when they're 3 days old, and those cows suffer pain, sorrow, anger that their calves have been taken away, fear. I felt the same wrench in my heart. And I knew that the Lord was trying to tell me something, that I should have compassion. Because I was raised on a ranch in Texas, and I really never had compassion for the animals. I thought, if they took my babies from me when they were 3 days old, I probably would have committed suicide. I could not have lived through that. So that's why. And from that point in time, that was 14 years ago, I will not touch another one piece of flesh or cheese. That will not cause pain and suffering to any other creature. And from that point in time, my life has been absolutely blessed. And my health improved. Everything in my life has improved since then.
Ms. Falk's transformative experience embodies the Mormon concept that God speaks to all of us and calls us all to live the truth and be vessels of the truth.
Originally, they called it the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that Christ is currently leading and is revealing more things to all the time as its head. Why they added of Latter-day Saints? Possibly to distinguish it from other churches that with the same name, but also because the idea is that we can be saints. We feel that just like we're all prophets, or can be prophets, in as much as we have the revelation of God in us, as we have the Spirit of God, we are prophets. We also are saints in as much as we strive the best we can to keep the commandments and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
As ye sow, so shall ye reap. What comes around goes around. You get back what you put out, period. I don't care whether you do it to another person, another animal, you get back what you put out. That is the law of the universe.
For more information about Mormons for Animals, please visit www.mormonsforanimals.org. Saintly viewers, thanks for being with us on today's episode of Our Noble Lineage. Please join us next week for part two of our show on Mormons for Animals. Please stay tuned for Between Master and Disciples on Supreme Master Television. May your day be blessed with divine inspiration and effervescent joy.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NL.